pay no attention to the sign that says Horror in Blackwood Forest, Part 7.
I would say probably elderly, and still, again, he kind of has that like imposing figure about him, like a sense of power about him. But definitely not a child, not a 12-year-old child.
They lied to us.
Or Victor was eaten.
Yeah, does this humanoid, like, have remnants around his
like
mouth?
Some blood on his beard, yeah.
Well, as I said, he's drenched in blood.
Oh, gosh.
I think we're too late.
Yes, I don't see the child, and that's why we're here.
It also pointed down. Should we go look for his body down?
They don't seem to have seen us yet. I mean, maybe we could go take a look.
We need the remains.
We probably should interrupt this ritual, though.
Can you each give me another stealth check, please, as you were?
Ritual smitual.
It could be a multi-day ritual, but you never know.
Be quieter. Talk quieter.
Scene one ritual, seen them all.
15 for Dandelion.
Oh, I crit. I crit.
Okay,
but
not one for Grundle.
Well, with disadvantage, I've got 29, so.
18. We got speak without a trace.
Speak without a trace, yeah.
As the four of you are like having this hushed conversation, Grundle maybe a little too loudly for his part of it, as this ritual, like the, it almost like it you don't realize, like, as you're caught up in your own conversation, like the chanting, and like it stopped, and then you're looking at this group of figures. They've all turned now towards Grundle, I guess, but and because they were drawn by Grundle, of course, now, and we can roll initiative.
Grundle subconsciously sort of licks his lips. Grundle has a 12.
Malik has a 10.
Dandelion has an 11.
Ravina has a 16.
Oh, show off.
Spirals of dark energy start to cascade towards this open top of the tree that you're in now, twisting into thick tendrils of like inky black. And they writhe and squirm through the air towards the ritual circle, wrapping around the figures standing within it, his arms and his legs and up and around his torso, forming this sphere of negative energy around him until he's like completely enveloped. You can just hear like a it's not muffled as if it's like something obstructing, but it feels like there's a distance, and you just hear him laughing.
The city will fall. Immortality will be mine. Hear me, legions of death. Come forth from these dreaded woods. Free your master from his prison.
Grundle, can you make me a wisdom saving throw with disadvantage as you are an undead creature?
Oh no.
Oh no.
What are the odds of that?
1 in 20.
No, but there's two 20-sided die, and they rolled the exact same number. So that was very good. I rolled 2 15. So wisdom is plus 4. It's a 19.
Okay, even with disadvantage, his words, like, they start to like echo in your mind, right? And you feel that hunger again start to creep into the pit of your stomach that you just recently satiated. But again, with your 18 or 19 or whatever you had, you're able to like almost like shake out of this attempt to put you in this kind of trance or allow your bloodlust to overcome you. So you still have all of your faculties about you. Okay, so Ravina, you're up. So now again, the guy in the circle, he like, you can't even see him anymore in this. It's just like a sphere of black in the spot where he was standing.
So that would be hard to hit, correct? If I can't see him.
It would definitely be with disadvantage. There's nothing stopping you in trying to put an arrow into the sphere.
Do these devils look like they're occupied or ready to fight?
Oh, I mean, they heard Grundle and had already turned towards him with their weapons raised. Hence the initiative that we rolled.
I mean, I get that. Okay. How far am I from Bearded Devil 1?
So, okay. So on the map there, so Everybody but Grundle is still encased within the spiral staircase. Yeah, down below. So you currently don't have a direct line of sight on anybody. You would have to move up and through.
I would like to move up, and if I can, shoot an arrow at the closest person, casting Hail of Thorns before I do so. I'll basically peek. I'm basically going to cast Hail of Thorns. I'm going to peek up. I'm going to knock an arrow, and I'm going to lose two shots on whoever is closest.
That's absolutely, you have more than enough movement to get to the top of the stairs, kind of past Grundle, and you've looped around. And so now you see kind of, you're seeing fully now where the, there's like a half wall that the walls of the, or the sides of the staircase kind of end in. It's not a complete structure all the way up, right? As everything above you is open to the clouds and the lightning striking above. So now you have a clear shot on any of these enemies up here.
I'll go to the one that's closest to us at the bridge of the staircase. That's a 22 to hit.
That is going to hit.
And then I need a dex save.
Dex save is only an 8.
Okay, so he fails that. It is 4 plus 11, so that is 15 damage with that shot. And then I'll shoot him again. And that's only a 16 to hit.
That still is going to hit.
And that's 10 more points of damage.
Next are these bearded creatures. I mean, they are bearded devils. They do have those writhely, like, tentacle-like, eel-like beards.
Yeah.
But you did pretty severely hurt the one that you smacked. So they're going to close in on you.
Aw, gee.
Their beards, like, almost as if they have a mind of their own, or they're like a living organism there. The beards themselves hanging off their chin, lashing out at you from both of them.
Cool.
It's only going to be, first one's a 12.
Miss.
Next one is a 21.
That's a hit.
So you're going to take only 4 piercing. And then you see the large glaives, the long-handled weapons that they have. They'll both swing at you with those as well. Ooh, first one again is only a 13, which I assume misses.
Yep.
And a 17.
That hits.
So that one's going to be 11 slashing. And could you make me a constitution saving throw, please?
3. Passes, right?
Not quite. Really close, though.
Yeah, so close. Dang.
Grundle.
I'm going to also step into the room and follow the path that Ravina took, step up to her right-hand side, and I'm going to begin swirling my hands in front of me, sort of around almost like a sphere right in front of my chest, and then I'm going to let go of both of my hands, and out from me is going to spring this 30-foot cone. Each creature within that 30-foot cone has to make a wisdom saving throw.
You fools, you have yet to see a true master. I am that master. I am Grundle, destroyer of worlds, master of illusions.
Oh my. Yeah, so Leland, I'm casting Fear. Wisdom saving throw, DC 15 spell save for fear.
Okay, the barbed devil succeeds. The bearded devils both fail.
Okay.
I assume this applies a frightened condition?
Yes. So anyone who fails becomes frightened. They must drop whatever they're holding. It's concentration for a minute. And they have to take the dash action and move away from me to whatever spot they deem safe.
Okay, as you're casting this spell and you're, you know, performing this impressive display of your mastery of your arcane arts, like, you know that these bearded guys, like, they should be frightened of you. And it seems like they just kind of shake off this condition that you attempted to inflict upon them despite failing their save.
No bueno.
Oh boy. That was some of my best illusionary work. That should have. They're supposed to be scared of that. I kind of look to Ravina and the others. look back to the enemies.
Bro, just hit them.
They've turned to each other? And they're just like speaking. Does anyone speak Infernal?
No, not Grendel.
No.
Abyssal, not Infernal.
I do, because I'm a tiefling.
Yeah. Ravina, you just, like, they're just laughing at this. Look at this short little guy. Thinks he's tough stuff as they speak to each other Infernal.
Grendel, they're mocking you. Do something.
Well, I'll need a short moment to prepare another spell.
Grendel's, that was his action, and I'm not going to move because that'll provoke opportunity attacks.
Dandelion.
So I'll finish running into the top of these stairs, and I see a big sphere of darkness in the middle.
That's correct, yeah, in the middle of this ritual circle. Also, those that have now kind of stepped up after Ravina has moved and she got hit, like those that can see Ravina now, from the hit she suffered, she clearly has like this gaping wound across where the weapon had slashed against her.
Great. So how are you looking, Ravina?
I mean, I look fine.
Other than the gaping wound.
He didn't like DM me that I'm poisoned or something, I don't know.
So I wouldn't know that the master is necessarily in the middle of this black sphere because I was on the stairs when he was talking.
I suppose, but I wouldn't be insulted if you wanted to try to do something with a little bit of meta knowledge here.
How dare you assume that?
Oh, here, let me put it this way. The divining rod is still pulling towards, both down the stairs and towards the sphere of darkness.
Oh.
Down the stairs?
That was supposed to help.
But no, because now it's like, how firmly do I believe that Victor's dead versus...
You wouldn't want to attack what could be Victor, right? If you didn't see it.
Okay, so not knowing what currently is really going on inside the black sphere, I will just attack what I can see. And a streak of light will go out towards the bearded devil in front of Ravina. Cast Guiding Bolt. Whoa. Oh my.
What does that mean?
11.
Ooh, not quite.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to stop there.
Malik.
I'm going to run up the remaining stairs, run past Dandelion, sort of do a slide on a knee with one leg out, and then pop back up, cast Protection from Evil and Good on myself, giving them disadvantage on attacks against me. And as my bonus action, I'm going to target the Barbed Devil. Is the Barbed Devil bigger than the Bearded Devils?
No, not by any margin. Maybe maybe he looks like he is just because of his extra spines that he's covered in. Like, they kind of stick out a little bit. So he looks like a porcupine rather than, like, physically imposing compared to the others.
Ah, barbed. Okay.
Yeah, so I pop up and I sort of look over at the bearded devils, but I see Ravina and Grendel have them under control. So I point my bow over at the barbed devils and mark it with Slayer's Prey, so I'll get extra damage if I hit him later. And that is my turn.
It is the barbed devil's turn. What can Barbara do?
Barb.
She didn't do much in Stranger Things.
Yeah, justice for Barb, I tell you what. Barbed devil is going to move towards Malik and Dandelion.
What?
Is your protection from evil and good, like, does it put a shimmer on you?
Like, obvious, or? Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't describe it. Let's just say that it, for a moment when I cast it, it sort of puts a blur around me for a moment, like a protective shield, but I don't glow or anything.
Then in that case, it's going to move to the closest of you two, which would be Dandelion. You know, it kind of, I think I described before, the way it moves is kind of very, like, serpent-like, as it's... almost like sliding on its feet, like it's bipedal still, but it's like it's just kind of slipping around, and it can actually just get right in between the two of you. And we'll start by attacking Dandelion. A 23 with the claw.
Oh, it got me.
And second claw is only a 10, however. But first hit will do 7 piercing. And almost like without even taking its attention off of Dandelion, its tail, Malik, you see just flick out behind it, attempting to hit you. So that's going to be with disadvantage, right?
Yes.
Well, disadvantage is only a 10. And that's all that Barb has. From the spiral staircase, you hear something that you've very recently heard, the gnashing of teeth and the grinding of flesh and bone. And then you just hear thudding footsteps, like creatures sprinting up the staircase. Just at the crest of the very top of it, you see Dandelion and Malik can see aghast dashing up the staircase. Now, I didn't describe before, but these levels that you've been exploring, like they're like 60 feet between each other. You're quite high up, even though you've only gone up to about the third or fourth level. So they did have to dash to get up. So they can't quite get into the fray, but they are at the threshold of the top of this staircase now.
I have a question about a spell, Leland. Thunderstep is a third level spell. I teleport, and then I leave behind thunder, basically, and people have to make a con saving throw, take thunder damage. It says I can bring along objects as long as the weight doesn't exceed what I can carry. I can also teleport one willing creature of my size or smaller. Does that mean, like, I'm a humanoid, so humanoid size, or does that mean, like, someone literally as small as Grundle or smaller?
Your size is classified as small, right? As a gnome. You're small. So you, and for, like, Ravina would be a medium-sized creature. You are a small-sized creature.
I'm a big girl.
Unfortunately. Look, if you want to put Ravina on a Tensor's floating disk and run the disk around, you can absolutely do that. But unfortunately, you need someone tiny to thunderstep with you.
Well, I want a thunderstep. I just don't want to damage Ravina. The only way to not damage Ravina is to take her with me.
You can damage me. It's fine.
The top. Those swirling tendrils of energy, they're continuing. It's like as if they're feeding and funneling into this sphere that's encased the figure in the ritual circle. And Ravina, your turn. However, at the end of the start of your turn, that gaping wound is going to inflict some damage to you here. You're going to take 8 points of damage from it as it's just seeping and oozing blood. And like it even emits the blood smell, which, you know, Grundle right next to Ravina is very aware of. But, like, it smells, like, of sulfur and brimstone.
Is that just her normal smell?
Yeah, that might just be how Ravina smells.
It's your perfume. Brimstone.
Ravina's going to, as a beast master, summon a beast. A very scary bestial spirit. The bestial spirit of a raccoon. The bandit of the wilderness, native to these parts, no doubt. And Rocket the Raccoon spawns in ready to fight at my initiative.
Okay, where do you want to put him? He goes in an unoccupied
right next
spot,
to me.
Right?
Sure, right behind me. So he can be like at the top of the stairs where the ghasts are coming or something. He has 30-foot climbing speed or movement speed. Would he be able to reach one of those things on the staircase, 30 feet?
Yeah. Well, so gas number two is basically on your level.
I'm going to sick Rocket at gas level two's leg. Bite him for some rabies or something. Because he takes a turn right after me. Plus 3, 17 to hit this ghast.
That hits.
And then I bite for 11 damage.
Wow, okay.
It's got very pointy teeth.
Barry?
Barry, is that you?
Barry's cousin?
All right, good job, Rocket. Bearded devils are next. So the one that got a slash in on you, Ravina, will continue.
Voiced by Bradley Cooper, obviously.
Of course, will continue to slash you. First with its beard, 13 to hit.
That's a miss.
And with its glaive is only a 9 to hit. Second one will do the same thing to Grundle. Beard is a 9 to hit, and its glaive is, wow, only a 12.
You suck.
12 is my AC.
Okay, Grundle, you suck.
You suck. You didn't cast a mage armor there, bud?
Oh, wait. Yes, I did. Sorry.
Well, you haven't cast it since you died and became a vampire spawn.
Oh, okay.
But if you can still cast shield if you wanted to.
Yeah, no. I'll allow it.
Okay. You take 9 slashing from the glaive, and you are an undead or a construct, so its infernal wound has no effect on you. And Grendel, you're up.
Man, it didn't go so well. That fear was really supposed to work.
Well, these two are, in particular, are, yes, immune to being frightened. Just unfortunately.
So I shouldn't cast fear again and try a second.
I wouldn't try it again.
I would not. Please.
You never know. Sometimes it takes 2 times.
They might not have heard you the first time. Maybe that's what it was. I mean, I know you spoke really loudly, but...
Okay. Grundle's going to Misty Step because he doesn't want to take opportunity attacks.
Can I...
Yes. You can suggest something.
Do you have your vampire abilities pulled up?
Yeah.
Can I suggest...
I have regeneration, spider climb.
Did you regenerate?
I didn't, no.
Make sure you are regenerating. Because basically you regenerated, I mean, the damage you took from that hit, you just regenerated.
Oh, right. So I can take a little bit of damage. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Unless you're taking radiant or fire damage, don't forget to regenerate.
So Grundle is going to reach into the breast pocket of his jacket and pull out a deck of cards and he is going to hurl them in front of him at the 2. I think it would only hit the 2 in front of me. Yeah, so he's casting spray of cards, 15-foot cone. They make a dex saving throw, DC 15.
Bearded Devil 1 critically fails, only rolls a 1, which is like a 4 or whatever. But Bearded 2 gets an 18. So the one that Ravina already seriously wounded fails the save.
So the one who failed is going to be blinded till the end of his next turn. And the one who failed takes 9 damage, 9 force damage. The other takes half and isn't blinded.
You staying put?
Yep, I'm standing my ground. Pointy teeth and all.
And of course, those that are paying attention to Grundle... You know, the wounds that he had just suffered almost immediately start to knit up and, like, regenerate his pallid, undead flesh. But if that's all he has, it's Dandelion's turn.
I'm going to pull a little leaf out of my sack and hold it in my hands, and it will ignite and become a scimitar-shaped fiery sword. And I will attack this thing next to me that hurt me. 12.
12 does not hit.
Good try, Dandelion.
That's all I'm going to do. I don't want to move because I don't want to provoke an opportunity attack. All
right, Malik.
I, however, will provoke an opportunity attack as I sort of roll over towards this big black ball, moving outside of the range of the barbed devil. So you throw an attack at me with disadvantage.
Disadvantage. Gets rid of the crit and is only a 10 with disadvantage.
Nice. So I'll move back about 15, 20 feet over by one of the braziers. And then I'm going to shoot a couple arrows into this barbed devil.
It's monster hunting time for Malik.
That's right. That's a 19 to hit.
Hit.
That is 6 piercing, 6 radiant. And since I have the Slayer's Prey on there... an additional 2.
Oh, you're supposed to actually hit them. Oh.
It's confusing.
Second attack. 29 to hit.
Wow.
With an additional 7 piercing and 2 radiant. So 9 more points of damage.
2 good hits. You're just like splintering off spines across his body with the impact of your arrows.
And he's gassed from where I'm standing. If they tried to, I mean, I guess they're going to probably run up on me, but could they currently see me behind this flaming, I'm going to sort of duck down, I guess, a little bit, sort of get down on my knees.
The braziers are stand maybe 2 feet tall, so they don't provide very much for cover. But from where you are, the gas are still like below that little half wall at the very top of the spiral staircase. So they currently can't see you. And, you know, from where you moved anyways, from your previous position, you kind of had a line of sight of one of them. Now it seemed to be squaring off with this spiritual raccoon.
Yeah, trying to take some kind of a cover and hide to be able to, you know, keep pummeling these things with arrows without them catching sight of them. That's my plan.
Barbed devil. This time, it's going to lash out with its tail at Dandelion.
Left all by my lonesome.
A critical fail.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
You're going the other way.
Damn it. Feel sad for them. They're trying so hard.
It has to turn its body to try to use its tail against you, and it just turns a little too far. And like, just you see it just spins on like its heel as it swings.
It's a little slickery up here.
It seems, there's kind of blood everywhere. It seems frustrated, so it is actually going to move towards Malik, who has been hitting it with the arrows. So you will get an opportunity attack.
Oh, okay. 16.
That hits.
Oh my goodness, I don't know what to do now. 14 points of fire damage.
You clearly hit this thing in its spines as it is walking away from you. And, you know, this gout of flames from your scimitar that seemed to have no effect on it. And it will take two claws at Malik with disadvantage still, right?
Yep.
Well, that's going to be sub 10 for the first one and 14 for the second.
I have a 14 AC.
Okay, so just barely able to nick you for 4 piercing.
Do you think Grundle would have noticed off to his left when Dandelion made that attack that fire didn't seem to do anything?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Gas now. You see, the one right at the top is just going to attempt to devour this raccoon in front of it now.
Oh, no.
Please, no.
Not again.
Leave alone.
Going to attempt to bite with an 18.
Yeah,
I gotta imagine that's a hit.
I go say, he's got better than an 18 armor class.
This ghast, those that can see it, it kind of like grabs a hold of Rocket and just sinks its teeth into it, only for 9 piercing. You just hear like banging and clawing and like guttural throat gurgling as the rest of them just try to trample up and past Rocket, slipping past. So Rocket will get an attack of opportunity on the first one, slipping past him as it claws towards Dandelion.
16 to hit.
That hits.
Rocket does another 11 biting, mauling damage. Gnawing damage.
Gives a little better than he gets here. So that total of 5 ghasts have clambered out of this spiral staircase now. 2 of them pouncing upon Dandelion, 1 still contending with Rocket, and then 1 more on both Ravina and Grundle. So let's take 2 bites at Dandelion. I mean, first one's only an 8. Second one, though, is a adjusted 20. Ooh, and you're going to take a total of 17 piercing from that.
Ouch.
Bite. Ravina, you got a bite on you for a critical hit.
I'm going to Hellish Rebuke.
Okay, so first you'll take, with the crit, you'll take 28 piercing as it, again, gets its teeth into your shoulder. And if you want a Hellish Rebuke, you absolutely can.
Oh, I'm down. Never mind.
Crap.
Grundle, bite on you. That's going to be a 12.
That hits.
That means my concentration and Rocket is down as well.
Oh, no. Grundle, you actually only take 10 piercing.
And Ravina was so tough, and she's the first one down. She will, like, be so embarrassed.
So mad.
Oh, man.
She's going to be so pissed in the afterlife.
So pissed. Grundle outlived her? Freaking Grundle?
Technically, Grundle didn't outlive her.
Technically.
Grundle the vampire, yeah. Vamprundle. Yeah.
To the top, you all can hear from, again, it's like, it's not like, it doesn't sound like a physical barrier or that it's muffling this figure's words from within the dark sphere, but it just feels like it's distant somehow. You can hear him crying out again, Merkel! For Merkel! And the dark sphere, as those tendrils continue, they've been pouring into it this entire time, the sphere begins to expand and then suddenly collapsing and folding in on itself to like a pinpoint, the figure gone within it. More of those tendrils, they continue to spiral into and towards this little pinprick And it's almost as if immediately, like, that stifling feeling and then that despair that you've experienced since getting into the forest, it feels like it starts to lessen upon you. That pressure is almost like as if it's slowly starting to let up as this void is funneling into this pinpoint. Then to Ravina, who is down, so death save, right?
19.
Very close to getting up.
Very close.
Bearded devils. Both of the bearded devils now focusing on Grundle. Two beards lashing out. The first one is an 18 to hit.
An 18 hits.
And then second beard is going to be 19. So you'll take a total of 13 piercing from both beards slashes. Then they spin on you with their glaives. First glaive is a 22 to hit.
Oh boy.
Second glaive is a 24 to hit. So you'll take another total 18 slashing. And again, their infernal wounds that they would inflict, or at least attempt to inflict, has no effect on your undead body.
As long as they're not slashing me with radiant damage.
They are not. Grundle, you are next. And so, Grundle, now that like the darkness is funneling into this pinpoint, you also feel like that stupor or this figure had tried to put you in, right, that you resisted. Even though you resisted it, it was like there was like a leftover nagging feeling or like a leftover like hook, like stuck to, almost like you stuck to your clothing, right? If you catch just a thread on a sweater, right? But now even that has been shed off, and you are kind of almost surrounded on all sides of you. Ravina down to your left, two ghasts behind you with these two bearded devils in front. Even looking over your shoulder, the ghasts look as if they've stopped momentarily for a second as well, as if they too have released themselves from some type of hold.
Okay. Do I still feel like I'm an undead creature? Like, do I just still feel like that I have some vampirism?
You are definitely still a vampire. You have not been cured of vampirism. Why don't you give me an arcana check?
That is a 15.
You've seen this figure that tried to call out to you disappear, right? And it's like as if whatever power that figure wielded or held, like now with his absence, so is that power.
Okay. All of my spells just really suck.
Because you took awful ones for this character on purpose.
I know.
Come on, Bill. Vampire it up.
Man, why'd you have to die, Ravina? So, to clarify, I could do a medicine check to stabilize her, but she still has 0 hit points.
I mean, you could try draining her and spilling some of your blood into her mouth and turning her into a vampire.
Can you turn her?
If she dies, you can try to turn her. You gotta bite her first, though.
I mean, if he bites her as a vampire, does he have the knowledge of being able to turn her into a vampire?
Can I do that as... I'm like an apprentice vampire, though.
I mean, you're a spawn. You got turned by a spawn. Whatever, we're loosey-goosey. Yeah, I would think you would innately have the knowledge to turn another vampire.
Oh, dear.
That's sort of like Polymorphiner.
It's very similar, actually.
Is that what you call it these days?
It'll be my greatest illusion yet.
Ravina will wake up pissed.
So pissed.
But she'll wake up. And hungry.
Yeah,
and
she'll get like 20 hit points per round.
She'll have her clothes too, unlike someone else. Butt naked and cold, I might add.
Yeah, Dandelion have to take a turn running over and burning her.
Yep.
And that might be part of the ritual now. You don't know. You have to repeat every single step.
Oh, no. That's right.
I'm not quite sure how this works. I think we need to burn her.
Hey, Grundle, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I am going to stabilize Ravina. Medicine check, sorry.
Okay.
To see if I can stabilize Ravina. Not too bad, Grundle, old boy. 19.
All right, the Ravmaster is stable.
that takes my action, right?
It does.
So all I can do is bonus actions, which I think is like Misty Step, and that's all I have. Don't really want to Misty Step out of here and leave her. But what else can I do? I can move and that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Grundle reaches down to try and sort of perform a little bit of medicine on Ravina, stabilizes her, and then he's going to sort of position himself between Ravina and these two bearded devils and try to look menacing, to protect Ravina as she's recovering from her down state.
Dandelion, you're next.
I am hurting quite a bit, so I'm going to cure wounds on myself and get back 16 hit points. Cast it at third level.
Okay. You too notice a change in the surrounding gas that had slashed at you before. As if like a momentary pause, and like there seems to be more like of an intelligence behind their eye than there previously was.
I'm gonna like wave to them like, what's going on? Can you not go away? Don't attack me.
Never tried that tactic.
Might have been working at all. First time for everything. You, one of them like tries to speak to you, and instead of words coming out, it's just like gore from the bodies that they were munching on the lower. So it's almost like more of like a as they're like trying to clear their throat.
Yeah, I understand. You got something in your mouth. You need to like spit that out. But we can have a conversation, and we don't have to hurt each other. We can help each other.
You can roll a persuasion check if you'd like.
Oh my. 9.
Okay. All right. Are you moving?
I'm going to take a chance and move because I don't know if they are going to. They don't look like they maybe might not attack me. So I will move 15 feet away from them because my speed is halved and that's as far as I can go.
Ah, okay. Due to exhaustion. Yeah, the one that was hacking up finally like clears its throat. Friend. And they don't lash out at you. Malik.
Again, I'm going to try to get some distance between myself and this barb devil to not have disadvantage on my attacks, allowing him another opportunity attack.
That one is going to be an 18 to hit.
With disadvantage?
Yeah, you avoided another crit. But it's only 6 piercing, whereas it gets a claw at you.
Yeah, I get crit and I'm dead. 23 damage.
Alright, so I'm going to move my full 15 feet over.
So you move closer to this pinpoint of darkness that tendrils of energy are swirling into.
So this thing's really small now, right?
Yeah, it's like the size of like a quarter or like a silver coin.
And the tendrils are those also very big?
Well, they start as they're literally like they look as the ends of them like look as if they disappear up into the darkness of the sky. So they're being like funneled and twisting down to this very narrow pinpoint. So they start huge and eventually they end up small enough where they're getting sucked inside of this little point.
Okay, so it looks like a drain. Something like a black hole sucking into it. So yes, I'm going to move a little closer, but not within the circle then. So 15 feet back, and I'm going to shoot the barb devil. That's an 11 to hit.
That's a miss.
With a plus 10.
Ooh.
Second attack. That's better. 28. So that's going to be 5 piercing, 2 radiant. Let's make it 6 piercing and 2 radiant. I get my extra with Slayer.
Well, let's just make it 6. 5, 6. What's the difference?
Yeah, I rolled my extra d6, but it was just piercing. That's all I can do. I can't move anymore. So I'm looking at this thing. It's sucking in. Everything's going around it. And does it look like... like the flames and stuff from the braziers and all, are they like feeling like they're looking like the flames are being pulled into it?
No, it's almost as if like there's no substance to this darkness. It's like shadows, and there's no like the sucking of wind sounds, or you don't feel a pull towards it, at least from where you are currently standing. So it doesn't feel like a vacuum is happening outside of this ritual circle, but it's like these substanceless shadows are just pouring into this tiny little point.
Okay. That's it for me.
All right. Barbed Devil is going to turn on Dandelion.
No!
Two claws. First one's a 16.
16 is my AC.
Okay, that means the second one of a 25 definitely hits.
Yeah.
So you take a total of 12 piercing, and it will try to spin and get you with its tail again. Wow, again, a critical fail with its tail.
Oh, jeez.
It just, again, you see it like spinning on a heel, and this time it spins a little too quickly and knocks itself prone.
My friend, come help me.
It is, in fact, the gas turns, and they surge towards you, Dandelion. And next to the Barbed Devil, the gas surrounding Ravina's stabilized body and Grundle kind of swing around to the other side of the bearded devils. And you see that they just start to tear into these devils, the undead, now no longer controlled by the disappearing figure. Ravina, you're stable. Bearded devils, they seem to have turned their attention to the what seems like the immediate threat. And Grundle, they almost like turn from you, right, as they start to glaive into these ghasts. Both of them kind of, with glaive and beard, as they focus on one, they just cut one to just shreds. Grundle.
So Grundle, desperate to try and protect Ravina's unconscious body, he's going to lash out at the more damaged bearded devil in front of him, who's like sort of right in front of Ravina, and he's going to make a claw attack with his new vampiric form, lashing out for the first time for a 15 to hit.
That hits.
And he is going to learn quickly from what he's seen and what's been done to him. He's going to grapple instead. He's going to try to bite.
Okay.
That is a 21 to hit.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 piercing damage and 5 necrotic damage.
As you lash out and basically leap onto, like, just imagine Grundle's little tiny form just jumping onto this devil, sinking your teeth into its neck, like through its squirming beard. And as you drain its blood, you taste like sulfur and the sulfur and brimstone, and it's spicy. This blood is spicy.
Oh. Is he gonna take damage?
You just drain this thing, and it just dies, and it crumples underneath you.
My first victim.
Okay. So that, I think, is all I can do with my turn. I'm going to stay put where I am, again, trying to sort of put myself between Ravina's body and this one remaining bearded devil.
I'll never admit you protected me, just so you know, when I become conscious. Well,
you don't know about it.
I know.
You'll never know how much I loved Ravina.
Dandelion, you're up.
Now that the ghasts have come over, the barbed devil's still on me, but I think I will have the chance to look around and notice that Ravina is down. And I will cast Healing Word on her.
Snapping.
6 points of health to you.
Oh, what the?
Ravina, you come too, and you see Grundle draining one of these devils.
And I'm just like soaked in some of the blood. Oh, blood spatter on me.
Without leaving the barb devil's reach, I will try and kind of get behind a ghast. Like, kind of cower a little bit behind the ghast, but not provoking an opportunity attack.
Okay, I will remind you that it is, it did knock itself prone, right, with that tail swipe. So it would have disadvantage on an opportunity attack if you did want to chance it.
Yeah, I'll go over towards Ravina and Grundle a little bit.
And these barbed devils do have a condition that negates disadvantage when they're prone, so we'll attack you with advantage.
He only told you half the story.
I kid. It only gets at 11 as it swipes out at you with a claw.
Classic DM trick.
Got him! Malik, it's clear the gas have turned away from your allies and have started to attack these devils.
Well, I'm going to give him a hand and try to put a couple arrows into this barbed devil for him. It's a 16 to hit.
And hits.
I assume the radiant doesn't matter, so we'll go with 12 points of damage. Second attack, 23 to hit. That's another 12 points of damage. And as a bonus action, I guess, or an additional action, I'm going to take one of my arrows and sort of fling it over at this pinpointed black hole looking thing and see what happens to the arrow.
As soon as you kind of give this light toss to your arrow, once the entirety of it passes the edge of the circle, like its entire arrow inside within this circle, it then gets sucked right into and through this pinpoint. You almost see like its physical matter like stretches as if these shadows are doing, and then disappears through this pinprick.
That would have been a great place to throw a barbed devil. But he's not around me anymore. I'm done.
Okay, barbed.
A giant ape could throw a devil, I imagine.
You see the barbed devil is just, it's again slashing out with its tail, finally connecting with its tail, knocking into one more of these ghasts. But the now one gas on the barbed devil, still two left on the bearded devil. Again, they're just like, all they know is they're a flurry of bite and claws as they slash and manage to damage these devils. To the top now, Ravina, awake.
Guess I'll stand up and look at the situation. It looks like I got Grundle to my left, up in the fray with these devils and ghasts. I'd be at disadvantage using my bow either way, even if I shoot at the other devil, right? Because, like, I have one in my melee range.
That's correct.
Pooey!
Lash him with your tail.
It's not really a thing that I have. good thought. Looking at the circle, what do I see now?
It seems like the shadows and the tendrils of black are slowing down to this pinprick. And it almost like it, this like silver coin sized area, right, that everything is kind of funneling into, looks like it is starting to shrink.
What is happening? And I guess I just like flip my bow to my back and I grab my dagger for a jab at this bearded devil right next to me. Ugh. I'm still out of it. The first roll's an 11. Just like whiff. And I try again on the backhand. So I like go forward and then on the back I get it with a 24. 7 piercing. Rolled max on that. And sorry, Grundle. I'm gonna take the risk of the opportunity and I'm gonna back away. You know, 10-15 feet away from them so I could actually shoot next time.
It will try to hit you with its beard. Wow, only a 13 though.
Miss.
The bearded devil is kind of looking to Grundle, seeing him devouring his buddy, and he's gonna turn at Grundle for a beard attack. Only a 7 to hit, but we'll try to get you with its glaive as well, which is only a 10 to hit. Wow, okay. Grundle, you're up.
I think I feel pretty good about using my new abilities last time around. I'm going to do the same. I'm going to attack with a claw attack. Wow. 25 to hit. And this guy doesn't look near as damaged, so I'm going to actually deal the damage with my claws this time around. 9 slashing damage, and I'm going to go for a bite. That is only 14 to hit.
That is a hit.
4 piercing damage and 8 necrotic damage.
Okay, well done. Still up, but just barely as you sink your teeth in once again.
And I will stay where I am.
Dandelion.
From where I am going to blow cold air onto the barbed devil. I need a con save.
23.
It avoids my frostbite.
Oh no!
I will continue to move a little closer to Ravina.
Malik?
Well, things have been working out for me so far. I'm sort of, I got some cover around me, so I'm going to go ahead and keep on pinging this barbed devil if I can. So take out the moonbow, notch with an arrow, sort of lean down and try to shoot right around the gasp, or gasp, sorry, and pummel this guy.
Gasp!
that's a 30. That's a crit. So...
Hey!
Dang.
This might be wow. It.
See, now I got to do some figuring. So that is 32 points of damage.
Holy crap.
Very close, but not quite. Very all right. Good, though.
Second attack. Man. Let's see if we can get her done. 19 to hit,
yep.
And that'll be 9 additional damage. But it's just 10, doesn't it?
Not quite. Man. So close.
I wanted to leave it for the gas.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. And like this barbed devil is like on its last leg, and you just see the gas kind of descend on, you know, the two barely living devils as they finish both of them off and begin to just gnaw and chew on them. Gas number two there, Grendel, kind of in between bites, looks up at you, spicy, and we'll go back down to just continue gnawing.
Chipotle.
Grendel gives him a little smile and a knowing nod.
Well, fall out of initiative now, unless you think you want to fight the gas and finish them off.
Don't hurt them, they're our friends.
I feel like Malik might want to fight them.
Monsters.
I don't know, if they turn on us, yes. But if they don't attack.
They seem preoccupied with their current meals.
What did I miss? What's happening? Where's the master? Where's Victor?
I will pull out the divining rod and see if I can tell where Victor is. If there's any clue.
The divining rod faintly pulls you down the stairs, but it also pulls in another direction. Like, I mean, it's pointing to the side of this tower or this tree that you're in, but clearly still pulling you in two different directions.
The boy's not here. Let's go downstairs at least. Get away from this whatever it is and point over at the tendril point.
Grendel, can you do anything about that?
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand what magic is going on here, but I there's something I could try. Yes.
I feel really weak. Can we not just like chill for a minute, you know?
Well, this will only take a moment.
Sure.
Leland, I would like to cast Dispel Magic on that sort of like black hole little orb in the center. I'm gonna cast it at third level.
It seems to have no effect.
Fudge. Waste. I had a feeling that was going to happen.
You're not looking very good, Ravina, here. And I'll touch you and give you 10 points of health. Does that help?
I mean, yeah. But if that's all you've got, it's fine.
Quickly, before these things finish their meals.
Where's the... you didn't ask... Answer me, where's the dude? Where's the guy?
I point at the, I point at the point.
Well, he's pointing at the point. I will also cure wounds on myself.
For probably more than 10 damage,
he disappeared.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yes, I actually got myself, I got one more point of health than what you got.
Yeah, Ravina, you see more of Dandelion's wounds do knit compared to how many of yours were fixed from her healing magic.
Of course. He disappeared in that spot, and all those trendles came in, and then the gas became friendly to us. But the rod and Mr. Fluffer Bunny, he's friend, yes,
save
yes.
Save us!
Huh?
What's downstairs? I'm gonna ask the ghast. What's downstairs?
Food.
Little boy?
Yummy food.
That doesn't bode well.
What's your rod thingy say?
Down and everywhere, kind of.
Did anyone touch this thing?
No, it looks dangerous.
I'll shoot an arrow at it.
I wouldn't touch it, Ravina.
Does it do anything if I shoot an arrow at it?
It consumes whatever you throw in.
Once it passes into the ritual circle, the arrow like gets sucked into this pinpoint and disappears. As everything is still continuing to drain, the sky above you and like the canopy of the trees, like you can actually see more of the sky above you. Like it feels like things are starting to lighten, and that darkness is like ebbing and being drained away.
I run down the steps to the next level and look and see, is this any power that's going down through the tower down to the level below?
No, the level below with the pool of blood and the bloody footprints everywhere, where the gas had been feasting on some discarded body parts, doesn't seem to have changed since going up and fighting at the top.
Is there anything else down there on the second level or on the next level down?
Just what you had already...
Like creatures?
No.
Okay. No additional ghasts are still down there?
No. Is it?
Okay. I'll continue down.
Let's follow Malik. We need to find out what's down below us. Quickly.
Okay, let's go.
Sure.
Okay, so then you descend down to the, basically the ground floor, which is where you had originally entered.
And then we can continue down, correct?
You absolutely can, yes. So you descend again, and Dandelion, like the rod, as you go down further and further down the steps, like the pull on in this direction for the divining rod does seem to get stronger as you move closer to this kind of basement underground, which, you know you're moving underground now, right? Just based on the entrance to the tower that you walked in. And you kind of descend into what looks like a type of a workshop. And like this room is deathly quiet down here. You see that it's kind of almost been bisected and it encompasses about half of the tree. In addition to what looks like a mattress, like a personal quarters down here as well. There's a table and shelves kind of full of books and beakers and other type of, it looks like research paraphernalia, like scribbled journals and that kind of stuff. And then there is, of course, another door that's closed to like the other half of what this closed off room. Like there's a wall, right, that bisects this section down here.
Where's the wand pointing?
It is pointing towards that additional door.
Dandelion, let's do this.
Try that door. You go first. I'm right behind you.
I'm like very badly injured. Okay.
I'll open the door. I see you sort of struggling to go over to the door.
I have a wound, yes.
And I open the door. I just throw it open, pull out my bow.
Clear!
You're immediately assaulted with the stench of old, rotted blood. The air inside is like a cloud of flies, accompanied by their droning buzz. Piles of rotted flesh lie all around. Kind of every wall is like hung with long chains ending in hooks that are covered in rotting viscera. Clearly, this is some type of torture chamber. The only furniture in here is a table with like a cross stirrup arrangement that's directly across from you, across from the door. And strapped to it is a human boy with the approximate age of 12.
Alive?
He has blonde hair, though it seems to be matted like flat down to his face with grease and grime and dirt. He appears to be unconscious.
There he is. Let's go. I run in to the boy. I take Victor's Vector.
That's it. That's all we have for you. That's our show. Be sure to follow us on the social media. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all on the website, incorrigibleparty.com. You get all kinds of information there. Incorrigible Party is sponsored by Critical Hit Design, you know. And all ambient sounds and music during the episodes are courtesy of tabletopaudio.com. And our intro and outro music was created by Josh Jarvis. You can find him at jamesmercymusic@gmail.com. Now scram! Happy adventuring!
This has been a Sounds of Steel production.